Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains historical references to the creation of the Minotaur and death. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. Your field trip to the Parthenon in Nashville is today. Exiting the bright yellow bus, you step into Centennial Park, and there, towering over you, is the Parthenon. A massive rectangular structure surrounded by pillars, and at the crest, several carvings of humans in various poses. Inside, you find paintings and art sculptures, and a glorious statue of Athena, the goddess of wisdom, craft, and warfare. One painting does capture your attention. You're almost pulled into it. It's of a tall man in a dark stone-walled corridor. His body is large and full of muscle, except there's one strange thing about him. Instead of a human head, he has the head of a bull. Killian, what is this creature?
The Minotaur.
The Minotaur.
You already know that.
I know, but we had to give the warning.
The second time you've said what the creature is...
I know,
the
we have to give the warning.
The boogeyman, oh. And the second time...
He remembers.
...was right now.
Let's open up the cryptid catalog and find out more. Before we delve into the depths of the labyrinth to find out more about our fearsome monster, let's give a huge thank you to Xander from San Antonio, Texas. Thank you, Xander, for suggesting another creature from Greek mythology. Would you like to say thank you?
Thank you.
Killian, do you remember what other Greek monsters we have already covered?
Let me think.
Yeah.
Is Mongolian Greek?
Mongolian? No, Mongolian is not Greek.
The Mongolian?
Mongolian is Mongolian. Oh. Yeah. I'll give you a hint. He has one eye.
Cyclops.
I'll give you another hint. They sing and lure people to their deaths.
Sirens.
Correct. So minotaurs are a good addition to what we've already talked about. And there are so many more Greek monsters that we could do episodes on. So if you have a favorite, shoot us an email or message on Instagram and let us know which one you would like to hear. All right, so let's dive in. You ready?
Yes.
Killian, tell me everything that you might already know about the Minotaur.
Well... There is a show about Minotaurs.
There is?
It's on Netflix, and it's called Centaur World, and there's like this big battle where they fight Minotaurs.
There are Minotaurs in Centaur World?
There is!
Oh, I didn't know that. I must not have seen that episode.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't know that?
I've seen like the whole show.
I know you have.
Like three times.
I'd say more than that, but yes.
Oh, yeah.
But what do you... Okay, so other than that, they're in the Centaur World episode. What do you know about Minotaurs?
Minotaurs are these creatures that that either they wear helmets, but the horns are sticking out. Or as they should, leave their face alone.
So do they have... But like, is their face a human face or no?
No.
No, what is it?
It's a bull.
It's a bull.
Or any animal.
Oh. So the most simply put, the Minotaur is a half man, half bull monster. Where does he live?
Greece.
Well, yes, but also, in a labyrinth. So do you know why the Minotaur exists? Why he lives in a labyrinth, or even what his job is? Do you know any of that?
But I think from Labyrinth, I think he's like a friend of an ogre.
Okay, that's a good guess. So let's open up our Greek history books and find out. So the translation of Minotaur breaks down to Bull of Minos. Minos?
Minos.
Bull of Minos. Minos was a king on the Greek island of Crete, where the Minotaur was created. As with all Greek stories, we have to introduce a couple of people, and spoiler alert, these folks are going to make the Greek gods pretty angry. So, this is our first Greek story that doesn't have anything to do with Odysseus, though, so that's kind of neat. So, on the island of Crete, is our main man.
I forgot who Odysseus is.
Oh, remember he went on the big, the Odyssey, he went on the big journey, and that's how he met the sirens and the cyclops. Yeah, remember all that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, on the island of Crete, our main man, Minos, competed with his brothers to become ruler. Minos prayed to the sea god Poseidon to send him a snow-white bull as a sign that Poseidon wanted him to be the king. Minos said that he would sacrifice the bull in honor of Poseidon. Sacrificing animals was a big deal in Greek history. They saw it as a way to give to the gods who could not be there in person to feast with them. It is also a sign of giving up something that the mortals have. So this snow-white bull shows up and Minos falls in love with it. He thinks it is the most beautiful thing ever. Minos thought that the god would accept a substitute sacrifice instead. Spoiler alert, Poseidon is not okay with a substitute. To punish Minos, Poseidon made Minos' wife, I'm going to say it, Pasiphae, but that might not be correct, fall in love with the bull. Because of this, Pasiphae bore a child with the head of a bull and the body of a man. A lot of strange things happen in Greek mythology.
Yeah. Centaurs were made here.
Big on centaurs today. Pasiphae nursed the Minotaur, but he grew in size and became ferocious. As the unnatural offspring of a woman and a beast, the Minotaur had no natural source of nourishment and thus devoured, wait for it,
Human flesh.
Minos followed advice from the oracle at Delphi and had his imprisoned inventor, Daedalus, construct a gigantic labyrinth and that would hold the Minotaur. Its location was near Minos' palace. The labyrinth became a punishment for those who did not follow Minos' rule, and Minos would throw people into the labyrinth to feed the Minotaur. Well, eventually a man named Theseus, the prince of Athens, challenged the labyrinth and pledged to kill the Minotaur. Because there had been a war between Minos and Athens, Minos required...
What is Athens?
Athens is a place. It's like a place in Greece.
Ew.
It is the capital? No. Athens is a place in Greece. Minos required captured Athenian children to be sent into the labyrinth to feed the Minotaur. Minos' daughter fell in love with Theseus and taught him how to travel within the maze and gave him a ball of string to help him find his way if he got lost. Theseus defeated the Minotaur in combat. Some stories say that he used a knife, a club, or even his bare hands. Theseus saved the remaining Athenian children in the labyrinth and returned home to become the king of Athens. Now, I am leaving out a lot of information on this myth. So if this is interesting to you, go read Percy Jackson or, with your grown-up's permission, safely research it online. But that's pretty much the kid-friendly version, I would say, of what the Minotaur is. Mm-hmm. Sound cool?
Yeah, not a lot of blood, but...
Not a lot of blood.
Homer would just be mad.
Well, I mean, Theseus killed the Minotaur, so that's pretty bloody. And I'm sure it was not an easy battle.
And also, that's kind of tragic because the lady that fell in love with the Minotaur...
No, the lady fell in love with the bull and had the Minotaur. Who was half bull, half human.
Oh.
But, and then... Minos' daughter fell in love with Theseus, who was a human.
Oh, I thought Theseus was the boy.
No, Theseus was the king of Athens, but No one fell in love with the Minotaur, unfortunately. No. He died without ever being loved.
Wow.
So sad.
They can love a beast, but they can't love a Minotaur? Wow.
All right. Do you want a Minotaur story?
Yes.
Okay. So this is called The Beast in the Labyrinth.
I like that title.
Oh, okay. The first thing the young man noticed was that it was dark. The second thing he realized was that his leg and head were throbbing.
Throbbing?
Like, you know, like when you get hurt and you feel your heartbeat in, like, where you're hurt?
Oh, like
it, like, feels like it's bumping. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, that's throbbing. Shaking away the days, his memory came flooding back to him. He was wandering the countryside near King Minos' palace and stepped on a patch of uneven ground that crumbled beneath him. Had he fallen into a hole? Maybe an old well. As his eyes adjusted to the dim space he found himself in, he realized this wasn't a hole, but the dead end of a hallway. He heard wind rustle the opening 30 feet above him. He could barely make out the dark sky and stars. He had been unconscious for hours. Standing on shaking, sore legs, he felt the cold stone walls and walked away from his patch of rubble. Exiting his hallway, he looked left and right. Both seemed to stretch out for infinity. The darkness of the space was staggering. He held out his hand to see if there was any air moving. He sighed, holding the sore spot on his temple. There wasn't any breeze to speak of. Knowing he couldn't stay still, he turned right and walked with his hand gliding on the wall. He wandered the halls for what felt like hours, turning left, turning right, meeting dead ends after dead end, until he rounded a corner and found a lit torch burning on the wall. Maybe this meant that he was close to the entrance. In the light, any excitement he may have had was quickly replaced with terror. The halls of this maze were covered in large gashes, like a mighty bull had taken its horns and ran them along the stone, carving deep grooves. He realized he was not alone. He trudged forward, each turn chosen at random, moving quickly, trying to find a set of stairs or anything that could help bring him closer to the surface. Not even 2 minutes after he picked up the torch, he heard a frustrated roar from somewhere behind him. It somehow sounded both human and beast-like at the same time. He ran the best his legs could carry him, running left, then right, then left, then right, looking straight ahead, and then turning around the corner, he slammed into the body of a guard clad in armor and fell backwards on his butt. The sound of bronze clanged roughly off the stone around them. The torch hit the floor and rolled away, casting the guard standing at the corner in a shadow. The young man stood up, telling the guard how happy he was to have finally found him. His words were met with silence. As the man picked up the torch and rounded the guard, fear once again gripped his throat and a choked scream left his lips. The guard had two javelins pushed through his bronze armor and into the walls, keeping him upright, almost like he was some kind of macabre trail marker. The young man's stomach flipped at the sight of what shreds remained of the guard's face. Without having a moment to process the carnage in front of him, the sound of hooves echoed down the twisting corridors. Turning and racing in the opposite direction, the young man bolted. The hooves reverberated off the walls in loud, quick succession. He was being chased. No! He was being hunted. Straining his neck, he turned just in time to see the grotesque figure of a man with the head of a bull mere feet away. The young man darted into a separate hallway and watched the bull man just barely miss him. Before the young man could leap out and run away, the horns of the bull emerged from around the corner, then the head of the bull, and then finally the massive human body stepped in, blocking any chance of an escape. The young man backed up slowly, eyes locked on the creature in fear. He towered over him, almost daring the young man to look anywhere other than the beast that was right before him. The young man's heels met stone a mere second before his back pressed against a wall. He had found another dead end, and as the beast lowered its horns to charge, he knew it would truly be that. The end. Any reactions? Do you have any reaction? No, no screaming. Did you like the story?
Yes.
Was it good?
Yes.
Did it spook you?
A little.
What was the scariest part?
When the Minotaur came, but I was about to do, like, the Fantasia thing.
What Fantasia thing?
Da, 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 da. When he was coming.
That is funny. Any final thoughts about the Minotaur?
They're just misunderstood.
Oh, okay. That's a fair way to look at it. They're just misunderstood.
And I think the only reason he's pure evil is because people tortured him and stuff. And they didn't treat him like a person.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, well, I would like to say thank you again to our good friend Xander for suggesting the Mighty Minotaur. What do you say? Can you say thank you to Xander?
Thank you, Xander.
Okay. If you like this beast, there are plenty more stories about him. So, check it out if you want to.
The easiest way is to just buy Percy Jackson.
The Minotaur shows up pretty early in Percy Jackson.
The first book.
Yes. Anyway, thank you for listening. I'm Karina.
I'm Minotaur Killian.
And this has been the Cryptid Catalog. Until next time, remember...
The Minotaurs in the Labyrinth.
Are watching?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for listening to the Cryptid Catalog. This show is hosted by Karina and Killian Beemisterfer. Written, researched, and edited by Dylan Beemisterfer. And the music was created and performed by Will Shelton. Grownups, if you would like to help support the show, please take a second to finish out the episode and listen to some ads.